Evening, everyone. We'll make a start to our service tonight by singing together the hymn number 383 in your hymn book, 383. There will never be a sweeter story of the Saviour's love divine, love that brought him from the realms of glory just to save a sinful soul like mine. 383, we'll stand as we sing as the organist leads us in our praise. Let's stand as we sing. Well, we just unite our hearts together in prayer. Let us all pray. Our gracious God, our loving, eternal Father in heaven, we do gather, Lord, before Thee in the evening of Thy day. We gather in our Saviour's name. We approach Thee tonight upon redemption ground through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God who loved us, who gave Himself a ransom for our sins upon the cross. And Father, we thank Thee even for the theme of this hymn of which we've been singing. How the hymn writer could say, isn't the love of Jesus wonderful, wonderful to me? And Father, we thank that one of the great titles given to Christ is that title of wonderful. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And Father, we thank Thee, O God, tonight for the wonder of Thy love, the wonder of Thy grace, the wonder, O God, of Thy mercy and salvation that has been revealed unto us in Christ coming to this world and dying for our sins upon the cross. And Father, we thank Thee and we praise Thee that He triumphed over death, over hell, over the grave, over the tomb. And Father, we praise Thee and we thank Thee, O God, that the Lord Jesus Christ is alive forevermore. And Father, we thank Thee that in heaven He prays for us as His people. And Father, we thank that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back again in power and in great glory. And Lord, our prayer would be for every soul in this gathering tonight, that each and every one would be ready and waiting and watching for the coming of the Lord. Lord, You've told us in Thy word that the coming of the Lord, that it draweth nigh. And Father, we thank Thee for each and every one gathered with us here tonight. And Lord, as our faces would differ, so do our needs. Yet, Lord, we're looking to Thee to come by Thy Spirit, by Thy power, and by Thy grace, O God divine. And Father, we pray that thou will come and meet us each one at the very point of our need. We thank thee for every believer in Christ in this meeting, and we pray that thou would bless thy people, encourage thy people, lead thy people on with thyself into a closer walk and relationship, Lord, with thee. And for any good through times of difficulty and trial, we pray that they will know the strengthening hand of our God to be upon them. For others, Lord, may be walking afar from thee, may they know thy restoring touch, we pray. And for any with us tonight, unsaved, unconverted, Lord, speak to them. And Father, we pray that even tonight they'll take that step of faith, that they'll make that most important decision in all of their lives, and coming as a repentant sinner unto Christ and trusting him as their own and personal Savior. Bless, O God, our brother tonight who has come to testify. We thank thee for him. We thank the Lord for saving him. We thank the Lord for keeping him and thy hand upon him for good. And Father, we pray that thou wilt bless him tonight as he would testify of what thou hast done for him in salvation and of what thou dost mean to him as a Savior and Lord. We pray that thou wilt give him that help and that grace that he needs. And Lord, in everything that is said and done, bring honor and glory unto our Savior. We pray that thou would bless our brother and that thou would use him for thine honor and for thy glory, we pray. Bless his wife and family as well. We pray that thou would bless them and minister to their needs and encourage them greatly in the Lord. We think of those unable to be with us here tonight. We pray that thou would bless them. We pray, Heavenly Father, O God, for those that are sick and ill, those that are led aside. Lord, minister to them, we pray. May they know the grace of God being their portion. And for others that have suffered loss in recent times, may they know the comforting hand of God to be upon them, we pray. And Father, we pray that thou would richly bless them and that thou would minister to their needs out of thy riches, O God, in glory by Christ Jesus. Bless our land tonight, O God. Remember every faithful witness, Lord, for thee across this land, north and south of the border. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast promised to build thy church, that thou hast promised to use thy word in these days to accomplish thy great plan and purpose. And Father, we pray that it might be so even in these days in which we live, that we might see a gracious awakening from God across our land and nation, and a turning in the hearts of many unto thyself. Bless us now, we pray. Abide with us, close us in, Lord, with yourself, and everything that is said and done tonight. Bring glory and honor unto the Savior. Grant our very conscious sense of the presence of the Lord. Shelter our meeting over and around with the precious blood, and have thy way in every heart and every life. For we do pray and we do ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. I'm going to turn again, please, in our hymn book, to hymn number 382, in the page 331. Who can cheer the heart like Jesus? By his presence all divine, true and tender, pure and precious, oh, how blessed to call him mine. 382, we'll stand as we sing, keeping up the good singing and singing it out to the glory of the Lord. 382, standing as we sing. Stand as we sing. good singing. The Lord bless the words of that great hymn to all our hearts. I want to welcome everyone tonight in the Lord's name. It's good to see each one gathered with us here this evening. And we pray the Lord will richly bless you tonight. And if you're a child of God, may you be drawn closer to the Lord, your Savior, strengthened in your faith. And if this night you know not the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, we pray that even tonight you'll put your faith and trust in Christ as your Redeemer. If you're visiting with us, we extend you a very special welcome. It's always a joy to visitors to share in our fellowship. Trust that you'll feel at home and that you know the rich blessing of the Lord with us here this evening. To those also may be viewing online, we thank you for joining with us also. We pray the Lord will bless you and minister to your needs through His Word this evening. We also give a very special welcome tonight to our good brother in Christ, Mr. Kyle Boyd, from our Crossgar congregation. He's come quite a journey tonight and to testify of God's saving grace and God's keeping power. We welcome our brother tonight to the pulpit. It's his first time here in Enniskillen, and we pray the Lord will bless him tonight as he declares what Christ has done for him in salvation and what the Lord means to him as Savior day by day. And we pray the Lord will richly bless him and help him. Just a few announcements. Tuesday night, 8 p.m. here in the church, the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. We commend that to every believer. Trust as many as possible will gather, and that will be followed by a meeting of the church session at 9:30. Ask the brethren also to remember that. Friday night, 8 p.m., is our monthly presbytery meeting in our Coleraine Church. Do remember that in your prayers. Next Lord's Day, the 4th of June, Sunday school and Bible class, 11 a.m., morning worship service, 12 noon, the evening gospel service, 7 p.m., preceded both services by the half hour of prayer. We belong to bring God's Word, and after the morning service is the Lord's table, and that is open to all who are saved and walking in fellowship with the Lord. The Lord invites you to remember His death in His own appointed way. Also, being the first Sunday of the month, is building fund offerings, so do remember that also, please. Thursday night, the 8th of June at 8 p.m. in our Dungannon Church, there's a farewell service for the Cascaden family going out as missionaries to the land of Uganda, so do remember that meeting also. Friday night, the 9th of June, 7:30, is our church barbecue in Castle Archdale Country Park in the group campsite area, and that is £5 per adult. All children are free, and all going, just put your name on the sheet there and the number of people in your group. And if anyone has any special dietary requirements also, do put that on in the sheet there as well. As mentioned this morning, I asked if the ladies could maybe provide some tray bakes. There's a list out there, and if you can help with that, just a dozen per home, that will be deeply appreciated. There'll be games for the children and the young people that night. We trust it'll be a good night of fellowship. Children's Day, the 17th of June, morning service, 12 noon, the afternoon service, 3:30. Guest speaker, the Reverend Graham Middleton, be much in prayer for that meeting. Those meetings, make them known. And there's invites out in the hall table there for the Children's Day to give out. Sunday school outing will be on Saturday, the 24th of June, to Carnarvonnic Country Park up in Larne. It's a lovely part of the country. Trust as many as possible go along. And all the Sunday school families that are going, would you please let our sister, Mrs. Caroline Moore, know as soon as possible. Friday night, the 16th of June at 7 p.m., for the youth fellowships in the Western area, there's a youth night of sport and barbecue, also at the Bon Acre Centre in Irvinstown, and all young people are welcome there. And then also, God willing, next Monday afternoon, we hope to restart the door-to-door outreach just for the month of June. There's some areas we want to finish off around the area, meeting just at the church car park here at 1:30. Pray for that. No, it doesn't suit everyone with work, but if you are free and able to come along, we'll be delighted to see you. That's all by way of necessary announcements. We're turning again in our hymn book to hymn number 465. We don't take up an offering, but do remember the offering plates as you leave. And this is a wonderful hymn of testimony. The hymn writer speaking of what they have in the Lord. They said, what a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. We'll just keep seated for the early part of this hymn. 465. Thank you. Well, we do welcome our brother tonight in the Lord's great name. We pray the Lord will bless him tonight, that he'd feel at home here in the pulpit, and he know God's help and blessing as he declares what Jesus Christ means to him as a Saviour and his Lord. Lord bless you, King. All right.
Good evening, everybody. It's great to be here this evening. It's my first time here, and now that I've been here once, now I know where it is, and hopefully it won't be my last. But it was a bit of a journey up, but what a great evening we had, and it was even a blessing to be in the car there, but even to be here with you tonight. I want to thank your minister for the opportunity to come to testify. It never gets any easier. I think as you get older, it gets worse, or sometimes you feel that way, but hopefully tonight you'll learn something about my Savior. I don't want you to learn anything about me. I might tell you some stories about me and some things that happened, but hopefully through those things you'll realize that in every aspect of my life, God's hand has been upon it, and I just want to give him all the praise and all the glory this evening, and I trust that we'll be able to do that together. Tonight we're going to look at three words. We're going to look at how we're lost, how that we need the love of God, and how that through the love of God we can have everlasting life. But let's read together from the scriptures. We're going to read just two portions of scripture. The first is found in Psalm 139. Psalm 139. And we're just going to start there at the first verse of Psalm 139 and read some verses there. It says there in God's word, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art unacquainted with all my ways. There is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, it is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning, and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, and thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God? How great is the sum of them. And if we can just turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and just one verse there, the verse 9. And it says in God's word again, and he said unto them, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You'll notice that the two portions of Scripture that I read, the first one there in Psalm, it talks all about where you came from and how that the Lord knew you before you were even made. He understand how you would be made, how tall you would be, how small you would be, how much hair you would have or lack of hair like me now. Or maybe how you would have blue eyes or green eyes. But he knew you before you were even created. And his substance was not hid from him. But yet we were all made. It says there in verse 14, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. And even by the world's standards, if we're not made correctly, even in God's eyes, we're made just perfect. And then in 2 Corinthians it says, my grace is sufficient for thee. For yet my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. In the world's eyes, I would have an infirmity. And we'll talk a little bit about that later. But yet, through those infirmities, we can glorify the Lord. Because through the Lord, we can understand how He made us this way. Because there's a reason for everything. Because God is sovereign and He knows all things. And God makes no mistakes. So if He makes you in a particular way, it is for a reason. And maybe that reason is to glorify the Lord. I was born on the 15th of March, 1985. And you might say that's a bit of a strange way to start a testimony, because who cares when your birthday is? But I was born too soon. I should have been born sometime in May, but in my great knowledge and wisdom, I decided that I would be born on the 15th of March. And obviously, being somewhat born too soon, I was born prematurely, and that meant that I wasn't really just fully developed. I had all my limbs and I had all my faculties, and if you'd have looked at me in the incubator, I was just perfect looking. But I was just very, very small. My dad told me that whenever I was born, he could literally hold me in the palm of his hand. My head would be at the tip of his finger here, and my legs would just be at his wrist, and he would carry me around the hospital when they were allowed in the palm of his hand. And I've grown somewhat since then, and you sort of think, well, where did it all go wrong? But my dad's 6'5", and those genes travel far, so, you know, it comes out eventually. But I was very, very ill in those early days. Very sick. My mother says that whenever I eventually was born, they had to fashion the incubator of some sort because they didn't really have one available, and then they got one. Whereas nowadays, these are things that are just available. And I was really, really sick because I wasn't just fully developed. And at one point, in those early days, they actually called for my parents because I was really, really ill. And they thought they were going to lose me, really, because I just wasn't breathing on my own and things weren't going well. And my mother rang my father and she said, "You must come. You must come now because things are not well with Kyle." And my mother told me that my father, as he was driving down the road, he prayed to God that God would take something from him, that I would live. And I only learned of these things not that long ago, really. And my parents then told me about this, and I asked my father about it, and he said, "I just told God if He wants to take my legs, He takes them. Or if He wants to take my arms, He takes them. Or if He wants to take me, He takes me." And my father has just retired from being a police officer in Northern Ireland after 40 years' service. But at that time in the 1980s, it would have been very easy for God to do that thing, because he lost friends who lost lives and lost arms, and it would have been very easy for God just to do that thing, to take his arm, his leg, his life. But that was not God's plan. And eventually I got a little stronger, and my parents the doctors allowed me to go home. And my mother and father, just for reference, were very young. They were only 27 and 24, so they were very, very young. And they brought me home, and they just started to rear me like my sister. I have a sister as well who's 4 years older. And things were going okay. Obviously, I had a lot of hospital visits and a lot of things that had to be done because I was so premature. But it was fine. And my parents just got on with it. And eventually, after about 10 months, my mother realized that I just wasn't developing in the same way that a baby really should. They would call these staging points now. I should know this because I have a one-year-old, but there's like developmental goals that you should be hitting, apparently. And I wasn't hitting those things. And my mother knew that there was something wrong. And they said, "Okay, we'll do some more tests on your son." And obviously, because he was just born and a baby, it's very difficult to know really what's wrong with Kyle. But eventually they did some tests when I was about 10 months to a year old, and they told my parents to come back in a week's time to find the results. And my grandmother, who used to work in Belfast, she was getting the bus to work, and she was a mighty woman. She used to just read her Bible on the bus to work every day, and she would do her dailies. And she was also renowned for, if you weren't saved and you went to her house, within 5 minutes you knew that you needed to be saved, and she told you how. And we used to laugh as a family, because it didn't matter who came, delivery man, carpet man, if you were the first time in her house, you knew that you were going to get told the gospel. She was strong in her resolve for the Saviour. That's what we need today, I think. It's missing, I think, from our lives. But anyway, she was on the dailies to work, and she was reading her Bible, and she got this reading. And it was this, and if you just bear with me, I'll just read it to us now. It says this: a meeting was held quite far from earth. It's time again for another birth. Said the angels to the Lord above, this special child would need much love. He may not run or laugh or play, and his thoughts may seem quite far away. And in many ways, he won't adapt, and he'll be known as handicapped. So let's be careful where he's sent. We want his life to be content. Please, Lord, find the parents who will do a special job for you. They will not realize right away the leading role they're asked to play. But with this child sent from above comes stronger faith and richer love. And soon they'll know the privilege given in caring for their gift from heaven. Their precious charge, so meek and mild as heaven's very special child. And that the title of that says, Welcoming a Special Child. And then you'll notice in that verse in the middle, and it says, and he'll be known as handicapped. And in this politically correct age, you maybe wouldn't say that now. But it really, what that just means is you could have some a condition, or you might just be as developed as others. And my grandmother got off the bus, and it was a Thursday, and she went to see my parents, and she said, Kyle's going to have something wrong with him. He's going to be disabled in some way. I don't know what, but I know that the Lord has showed us this thing. And on the Friday, my parents went to the hospital, and they told them that I had suffered really a stroke during delivery, and I was going to have the condition cerebral palsy. But with CP, it's so vast. You can be affected in many different ways. No two people are the same. Or you might be quite similar, but you may just have other little difficulties. And the doctors, they just couldn't really tell them any more than that. But to compound it, they actually told my mother that my sister also had cerebral palsy. My sister is a hemiplegic. Her left side is affected, so she can't use really her arm and her leg. And they told my parents both about Alana and I. What news to receive as young parents. But God had a plan, and he knew all about it, and he picked my parents for a reason. And I'll tell you more about that as we go along. Because my parents made no difference with me. I had cerebral palsy, but what does that mean, you know? In our church, it's a bit of a joke. There was a young lady who was coming to our church with her boyfriend at the time, and they're married now, but the first time she came, they were in church, and we walked in as a family, and I just fell over, which happens from time to time, and I just fell over in the aisle, and all my family just walked on into the aisle, and I just lay there. And she was like, do you think we need to help him? And her boyfriend was, no, you can't touch him. They're funny about that. You just have to leave him there. And there's the line. And then you just get up and you just walk on in. And people used to say, like, it's a bit cruel. And my dad said always, well, I'm not going to be around forever. And he's going to need to get up on it himself. So they made no difference with me. Yeah, they just sent me to everywhere that my sister was going or that my friends were going. They wanted me to have the same life as everybody else. And obviously with cerebral palsy, there was some difficulties. During when I was 3 and when I was 4 and when I was 8, I had major surgery. And my consultant, he took my muscles and made them longer. And I used to walk on my tiptoes and kind of walk on the flat of my feet, sort of. But he was able to do enough that I would get around. I'm never going to run the 100 metres, but I can get around. And that's enough, because running's overrated. I was able to just do what I could. And through those times, major surgeries, physiotherapy, they were difficult times, you know. But I just sort of got on with it, and we just did it because we knew that it was good for me to do those things. And God's people was looking at, or praying for me, especially in my home congregation in Crossgar. And it says in 2 Samuel 22 and 33, God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. And the Lord was making his way perfect. He was giving me enough physically that I'd be able to have a life that wouldn't be impacted that much by my condition. And like I said, my parents made no difference. My father was involved in the children's work and still is, and he sent me along on a Wednesday night to the children's meeting just like everybody else, and they also sent me to one on a Tuesday night and one on a Friday night. And, you know, I just got on the bus and was away and happy to be there. And obviously, at those meetings, I began to realize that there was a God who loved you, and that God really loved you, but that you were lost. And you were lost because of sin. And because of sin, you could never be with God. Because it says in Romans 6 and 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And also in Revelation 21 and 27, and there shall in no wise enter in anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And I realized that I wasn't saved. I wasn't washed in the blood. I hadn't given my life to Jesus to ask him to take my sins away, and that I would be lost. And one of my greatest fears in life was being lost. I got a book about a little boy called Johnny for a Sunday school prize one time when I was 4 years old. And Johnny was a bit like me, good some days, bad other days. But one day he was going to Sunday school and his mother said, Johnny, after church today, you're going to go to Mr. Martin's house for dinner. And Mr. Martin had a fancy car, and Johnny said to his mum, can I go in Mr. Martin's car? And she says, Johnny, that's fine. After the church service, Johnny ran to the back of the church to go with Mr. Martin, and he was gone, and so was everybody else, and Johnny was lost. And Johnny started to walk around through the streets looking for everybody, but he was lost. And one of my greatest fears when I was younger was being lost. And I knew that if I died in my sin, I will be lost. But regardless of whether I was lost or I was saved, I was going to meet God. And if I was lost, then I was going to be lost forever. I was going to be in a Christless eternity. Because it says in Matthew 7 and 23, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. In other words, if I had sin in my heart when I met God, I'd be cast out into hell. And I would be lost. And I used to have a fear of being lost, because I knew that once you were lost in hell, that was it. You were lost for eternity. And I realized at the age of 4 that I didn't want to be lost. I wanted to be with the Savior. Because I was taught in Sunday school and in children's meeting that heaven is a wonderful place. Yes, it's a place where the streets are paved with gold. There's beautiful rubies and crystal, and it's a wonderful place. And there's angels there, and they sing, holy, holy, holy. But what I learned, that when you go to heaven, your body and earth is taken away, and you're given a new body, a glorified body. And I realized that I would have a glorified body, and that my broken body that had cerebral palsy would be no more, because I would be perfect in the Lord. Can you say that tonight? Are you perfect in the Lord? Is your sins forgiven? You see, God loves us so much that he gave his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. We don't deserve his sin, but yet he loved us, because it says in Romans 5 and 8, but God commendeth his love toward us. Think about that. But God commendeth his love toward us. Christ loved us, that he commended his love toward us, that we might receive it. And yet, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ wants you to be saved tonight. He wants you to be redeemed. That is why you're created. You were created to glorify God. That is why God created us. That is why the world is so lost, because they don't know where they come from, because they don't read their Bible. Because the Bible tells us where we come from, how we're made, like we read tonight, how that we should live our lives to be, have a peaceful life and to have a life that is fulfilled. There's so many in our world today looking to the world for joy, through drugs and through alcohol and through whatever else. But it doesn't give them peace. It just gives them more and more heartache. And yet they go on and they go on because they say, oh, I'll do a little bit more, or I'll do another thing or another thing. But how far will you go? Because you see, sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll always take you further. And sometimes it'll be too late. And you'll be in front of God. And he'll say, if you give your life to me, and you'll say no. And he'll cast you into hell. That's what I was afraid of at 4 years old. And at 4 years old, I just cried unto the Lord. And it says in John 14 and 6, Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. At my bedside at 4 years old, I came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, Jesus, will you save me from my sins? And he came in and took my sins away. Maybe you're a Sunday school teacher, maybe you're a children's worker, and maybe you have young children in your Sunday school class or children's meeting, and you think they're 3 and 4, and they maybe don't understand. Children understand completely the gospel, because the gospel is simple. The gospel is simple, and I understood exactly what I was doing at 4 years old. I knew exactly what I was doing because I was giving my life to God. And I knew that regardless of what would happen in my life, difficulties may arise, difficulties may come, but whenever I go to glory, I will have a glorified body. And I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to that because not only will I have a glorified body and you'll be in heaven, but you'll be where God is. Right with God in heaven. Imagine. It's going to be wonderful. But can you say that you will be there tonight? You want to be sure that you're there and ready for heaven. And at the age of 4, I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I asked him to come in and take my sins away. And he did. And you know, when you're a child, it's so simple. You know, whenever I went to school the next day in primary school, I just told my friends, I'm a Christian. Cool. Do you want to play Jesus? And that was it. Nobody asked any other questions. Nobody really batted an eyelid that I had now become a Christian. But it was whenever I started to get a little bit older, and as the world comes in, it gets a little bit harder to take your stand. And whenever I went to high school, I found it very difficult difficult to be a Christian. I found it difficult to tell people that I was a Christian because I walk a little bit strangely. So I get noticed. So when you try and fit in and you walk like this, it's hard. So then you try and, you know, you're trying to be like everybody else, but you're not. And then you don't want to tell anybody that you're a Christian because then you're even more different. So in my young years at high school, I never really told anybody I was a Christian. I went to Scripture Union and I still did those things, but I never set my stall out for God, clearly. And young people tonight, it's really hard to just to tell people you're a Christian. Sometimes you get an opportunity and you just want to say it, and it's just really difficult. But my advice to you is just to say it. Just to say to someone, I'm a Christian. Because then everybody knows what you're about. And then it can open more doors. And to my shame, I never really told anybody at school I was a Christian because I tried to fit in and it was difficult. And it was around that time when I was 14 and 15 that it really became apparent to me that there was things that I was never going to be able to do. Play football, for example, or just do normal things that a 15-year-old boy would do. And it was then that I got this verse in Psalm 139, verse 14, how that God knew me and how he made me a particular way for a particular reason. And I accepted that, and I never blamed God even through that period for my condition, because who am I to say what God does or not? Because God is God. If God can speak the world into existence, who am I to say you're wrong? Or to question him? And it wasn't until in my later years that I got that verse in 2 Corinthians 12 and 9, my grace is sufficient for thee. The Lord will give me the strength to get through it, but yet I can give him the glory through my infirmities. And after school, I decided to do some studying, and all my friends at the time, they were wanting to be tradesmen, and that's not a job that I was ever going to do. So I knew that I was going to have to keep at school and do a little bit of studying, and I asked the Lord to help me, to guide me in those times. And I got that verse in Matthew 6 and 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And God gave me that promise, that if I sought him, that he would keep me. And also in Psalm 32 and 8, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." Because if you're not in the will of God as a Christian, that can be a dangerous thing. But also you want to do right by God, because you know that God will direct you in a particular way that might be difficult, but you know it'll be the right way. And I decided I was going to do my A-levels at the college in Lisburn, near where I live. And we sent off all the paperwork, and my dad said, we sent all the paperwork off, and we didn't hear anything from them for ages. And it got into sort of middle of August, and we still hadn't heard anything. And my father said to me, "Well, why don't we just go to the college and ask and see, make sure that your application has been accepted." And we went there, and it was the lady was very nice, and she had got my application and whatever, and it was fine. And she said, you'll start in September, and that was okay. And it just, when we came out, my father said, "You just weren't too excited about that," or something to those lines. And I said, "No, I just didn't feel right, Dad." And he said, "Well, can you do the college anywhere else? Or can you do the course you want to do anywhere else?" And I said, "Well, you can do it in Downpatrick, but I don't really want to go there." And Dad says, "Why?" And he says, "Well, for starters, you're a policeman there. And if you know Downpatrick, there wouldn't be sometimes the big fan of the police. And if your father's a policeman and you're in Downpatrick, that can be difficult." And I said to Dad, "That's why I don't want to go." And he says, "Well, sure, we'll go anyway." So we went down, and this was just towards the end of August. And we went in, and we had a lovely man, and I showed him my results from my GCSEs. And he said, "That's brilliant, you'll start Monday." And that was it. I started in Downpatrick on Monday morning, and I thought, how did I end up here? I thought I was supposed to be there, and now I'm here, and what's going on? But through that time, the Lord actually opened the door for me to meet other Christian friends, which was a difficulty for me at school. And about a week passed, and I met a young fella called Bobby, and we were talking, and you know, you're trying to read between the lines. And he said, "What were you doing at the weekend?" And I was like, "I was doing such and such, and then I was at church on Sunday." And he said, "What church do you go to?" And I said, "I go to the Free Church in Crossgar." And he said, "Oh, I go to the Gospel Hall in Drumness. I'm a Christian." And the Lord had just opened that door. And he gave me that friend, and then we met other people. And through that, other things happened, and we had a group together. But it would have never happened if I had went elsewhere. God didn't make any mistakes. Of course, around that age, we start to think about learning to drive. And if anybody knows me, they'll know that I'm a wee bit of a car fan. And of course, you've got cerebral palsy, but what does that mean? I'm still going to drive a car. And they told me that if you're wanting to drive, Kyle, you're going to have to do your normal test, but you're going to have to do an extra test. And I said to Dad, "This will be fine, because I'm basically the Michael Schumacher of driving." Had never driven before in my life, apart from a field car. But I said, "It'll be fine, Dad. You know, it'll be absolutely grand." We went, did the test, and the man turned around to me and he says, "Kyle, you're going to be able to drive a car, but you're going to have to drive an automatic." And if anybody doesn't know what an automatic is, nowadays they're very common, but it's just a car that changes gears itself. Well, to me, that was just like a knife through the heart. Because I said, "Well, how am I ever going to drive a rally car? Because they're not automatic." And that's all I was worried about, was thinking about silly things. But you know, the Lord's hand was upon it. I was able to get my test, and I was able to get a car, and it meant then I was able to finish my A-levels and think about going to university. And the car was going to enable me to get there. But of course, as young fellas do, sometimes you have wee accidents, and I crashed my car when I was 19. Did a real good job on it. Rolled her right over. And all my friends were in the car. Five of us. Not a mark on us. On the Toome Bypass, would you believe? The roundabout that we crashed on is not even there now, but here we are. We ran over and not a mark on us. We were all standing at the side of the road. And I said, this is going to be a difficult phone call. I had to ring my father. And then he had to come and get us and whatever. But not a mark on us. Lord's hand was upon us. But you know what had happened? To me, whenever I was had my car, it was all about where am I going, what am I doing? Where are we going this weekend? What are we going to do this? Where are we going to go? We're going to go to the North Coast. We're going to go here. We're going to go there. It's all about where we were going. What car? What are we going to do to the car now? Going to clean the car today. Going to do this. Going to do that. And the car had just slipped in and become my idol. And God just went, no. He took it away from me. And the day after my accident, my readings was in Exodus 20 and 3. Do not have any other gods before me. It was a hard lesson. But God knew right, because the car had become my idol, not him. I should have been worshipping the Lord and thanking him for all that he had done for me. But yet I was obsessed about the things of the world. And I still struggle with that. I still love cars the same way. But sometimes you just have to think, well, we'll put that to the side and we'll think about the Lord. Eventually I was able to finish my A-levels, and then I decided I was going to study at Jordanstown at Ulster University, a degree there. And again, I asked the Lord to help me to find a Christian friend, because it was going to be even harder. And in the first week, I hadn't met anybody, and I was still praying on, and I was asking God, just please just show me someone, like a friend that I could have through this 4 years. And a couple of days later, I met a fella called Raymond, and the first thing he said to me was, I'm going to knock you out. And I thought, right. And then I said, whereabouts are you from? And he said, I'm from the Rathkill Estate. And I thought, this guy's going to try and nick my wheelchair because he's from the Rathkill, and he's going to try and beat me up or something. And I was like, dead on, no worries. Of course, I probably made some silly remark, and he was just joking around, but there you are. And I thought, maybe trying to avoid him, maybe he's not going to be my friend. And a couple of days later, we were working in the library, in the labs, and Raymond was working, and I was working behind him, and he was working in front of me so I could see what he was doing. And he was working on a piece of design, and it came up on the screen, Belfast City Mission. And I thought, that's funny, isn't it? Belfast City Mission. So I thought, I'll have a wee chat with him. So I wheeled round, and what are you working on? Just doing a wee presentation here, because I go to Belfast City Mission in the Rathkill, because I could see it when I was 16, because I'm a Christian. Knocked me over with a feller. This boy, when you looked at him, looked like a Belfast boy, as I would call him. And I work in Belfast, so I've seen him a lot. He just looked like a walking catalogue for JD Sports. Nike Air Max, tracksuit bottoms, cap like this, the works, right? And I just was knocked over with a feather, because I had looked at him on his outward appearance, because I hadn't looked in his heart, because God can only do that. And Raymond told me all about him then, how that he could see it. And his story is a story in itself. But we became friends. And not only did we study together to do our degrees, but we also studied PhDs together, and now we work together at Ulster University, and we're still friends. And he's still going on with the Lord. And obviously, through my degree, that was difficult. Yeah, a lot of studying to do. And after that, I decided to do a master's. After that, I thought, you know, 2 out of 3, I'll do a PhD. And I really prayed hard about that, and I asked the Lord, just, was this really for me? Because your PhD, when you do a PhD, it takes part of your brain just forever. It's gone because it's a real challenge. And I was really asking the Lord to help. Should I do this thing? And I remember being in a meeting in Randallstown, youth rally, and I can't remember who was speaking, but I remember clearly that they spoke on Peter, and they were talking about how Peter was, you know, how that he walked in the water and how that he stepped off the boat, and how that he walked in the water with the Lord, and how that he took his eyes off the Lord and sunk in to the end of the water, and the Lord reached out and saved him. But the point that he was making was, Peter gets a hard rap for that because he took his eyes off the Lord, but Peter was the only one that stepped off the boat. And I remember filling in the form, it was around that time, and I was like, no, I'm not going to do it. And then another day would go by and I'll do it. And it was like back and forth, because I was trying to control it. And the Lord just said to me, you just need to step off the boat. So I did. So I filled in all the application, had the interview, which went terribly, and thought, nah, I'm never getting it. Because you have to apply to do it. And I thought, that's definitely, door's closing. So I heard back and the door closed. And they said, look, you didn't get a high enough score, so you're not eligible to do this program. And I thought, okay, I wasn't at all disappointed. I just thought, well, that's the Lord's will, and that's what he wants for me. A couple of days later, I was working in the university at the time as a researcher, and my boss came looking for me, and he said, the good news, you were out of the five places, you were actually third. Or sorry, out of the two places, there was five people, and you were third. But somebody dropped out, so you're second. So you start Monday. So everything in my life starts on Monday, like at the weekend. It's always, you know, a Friday, and then the weekend, and then you start. And I just thought, what's going on? But the Lord was showing me his sovereignty and his power. He closed the door, and then he opened it all by himself. Like God can do. There's nothing I did there. It was all the Lord. So I knew that this was for me. And it was a challenge. It was really, really difficult thing to do for 3 years. But the Lord helped us. It says in Isaiah 41 and 10, fear thy not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with thy right hand of righteousness. And also in Isaiah 40 and 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And I knew that when I got that verse that the Lord was going to help me, it was going to be difficult. And I was going to have to be, I would be maybe weary, and I was going to have to walk and whatever, but I would not faint because I was with the Lord. And he guided us through that. And eventually, we were able to secure a job. And I now work at the Art College in Belfast, in York Street. I teach design. Well, I go to work. Sometimes I go there and I don't do very much. But anyway, that's university for you. That's where I work. And the Lord has given us a job to do. And to be a Christian in universities can be a challenge. And then to be a Christian in a university at an art college can be an even deeper challenge. Because you get a lot of people who have no time for the Lord. But the Lord helps us and he keeps us and he guides us. And what I would say to any young person here tonight, if you're not sure what to do with your life, if you're deciding what to do, where to go, take it to the Lord always. Always take it to God. Because if you take it to the Lord, he'll do what's right by you. He'll do what's right for you. It might not be easy. I never thought I would do a PhD, ever. Ever. I didn't do my 11 plus. I wasn't allowed to do it, actually. For one thing and another. But anyway, I didn't do my 11 plus. So for me to end up teaching in university, totally, it's all the Lord. It's all the Lord, because it's not me. By a little bit of hard work, but it's by God opening those doors for me. And if you're a young person here tonight, you commit your way to the Lord in anything that you do, because you want to do what's right by the Lord. Of course, during that period, I was getting a little bit older. And you think, obviously, about getting married and whatnot. And, you know, I obviously had somewhat a bit of baggage to carry. And I thought, well, would I ever find a wife or even a girlfriend or any of those things? And obviously, I was thinking about those things and thinking, well, you know, how's this all going to work out? And, of course, if you leave it to the Lord, he helps you. So I just prayed to the Lord and I said, Lord, will you open a door for me, for someone for me? If it's in your will, that would be so. Because I was also fully aware that maybe I wouldn't marry anybody. And I met a young lady from a gospel hall in Ballymena, and her name was Emma. And you never go out now, you just go for coffee a lot. It's probably changed now because I'm older, but you never actually went out. You just drank lots of coffee and talked about coffee beans and how they're all made, and flat whites and everything else. And that's all you did. But you never went out. No, you're not going out, just going for coffee. And I met this young girl, and I actually met her at two places. Northfield Bible Weeks in Newcastle. when they were on. I met her there, and then I met her again then at Ronaldstown Youth Rally. And it's great when you meet somebody at a meeting, because you know, hope there's a good chance that they're there, that they could be a believer, and that they could have the same interests as you. And it turns out Emma was a Christian, and I started to get to know her, and we started to get to know one another. And the week that I met her, a couple of weeks later, I was doing my daily readings, and they were in the book of Ruth, and about Ruth and Boaz, and how that Boaz was Ruth's kinsman redeemer, and how that this is an illustration of Christ, and how that he saved her. But it's also a lovely love story, how that Boaz loved Ruth. And as I was doing my readings that week, these were the titles of the readings. On the Monday, it was the beginning of something special. On the Tuesday, it was seeing things straight. On the Wednesday, it was a time for everything. On the Thursday, it was someone worth talking about. On the Friday, it was doing things right. On the Saturday, it was marrying the wife and raising the children. And on the Sunday, it was the God of providence and the providence of God. And I knew that I would marry her a week after I'd met her, but I didn't tell her, because she would have ran a mile. But the Lord's hand was upon us, and we got married on the 12th of May 2015, and the Lord has blessed us with two sons. Our first son is called Ezra, and his name's Ezra because Ezra means helper in scriptures. And Ezra's going to be a helper to me, even though at the minute he's a bit of a wild boy and he just does what he likes when you ask him. But he's four. And then Austin, he joined us just last year, the year before, he's one. And his middle name is Micah. Austin Micah. And his middle name is Micah because not the Micah of the minor prophet, but there's a story of David and Jonathan and how Jonathan's son Mephibosheth was lame on his feet. And whenever I read that story when I was younger, I was like, that's me. And he was lame on his feet, but it talks about Mephibosheth had a son. His name was Micah. And the Lord has given me two sons, because they're going to help me when I get old, and they're going to carry me around. And hopefully they're going to be tall like their grandfather, and then they can really carry me around. But they're good boys, and we've really been blessed, and Emma as well. And the Lord has, you know, done great things for us. And I don't pretend to be special in any way, but I couldn't have done any of these things if I hadn't had the Lord. And my life may get more difficult. I get a lot more sore now. I have sore neck. I have sore whatever. It's sore. But I have a good pain threshold, so you just get on with it. But it may get worse for me. There may be a day I may not walk anymore. There may be a day I may have to change or do something different. But that'll be the Lord's will. And that'll be God's plan. And we leave it up to the Lord. But friend, tonight, maybe you're not... maybe you're here tonight and you don't have a disability. Maybe you don't have cerebral palsy. Maybe your life's good. But if you're not saved, friend, you're in far greater risk than I am. I have cerebral palsy and that's difficult. But if you're a sinner, if you're not saved, then you have the potential to be lost for all eternity. You see, you need to commit your way to the Lord, because the Lord is the best thing that you can have in your life. He can make your life fulfilled. He can give you the things in your life that you didn't even realize you could have. In my life, I never thought that I would have these things that I have, but I have them because of the Lord. And I trust that if you're not saved, that you will be saved tonight, that you will not be lost anymore, that you will have the love of God. And I pray for those even in our meeting tonight, maybe you are saved and maybe you're going through a dark period in your life, illness or health or whatever, job or whatever. I pray that there's a word for you even tonight through those promises I had, because those promises of God are just not for my situation. They can be for your situation as well. And I pray that through your life, you can give your life and will of your life to the Lord and live through Him. Thank you for listening.
I want to thank our brother tonight, Kyle, for coming and sharing that personal word of testimony of how the Lord has saved him, how the Lord has guided him and directed him and met his every need day by day. But in our brother's testimony, just mentioned one verse, Matthew 6, verse 33. And there the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to his disciples. He says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." If you're not saved tonight, oh, that you'd heed even the words of warning, even in the testimony. You come to the Lord Jesus, put your trust in him, and know your sins forgiven. And God will bless you and use you for his honor and glory. Maybe you're a believer tonight, maybe walking afar off from the Lord, seeking to go your own way and to do your own thing. Well, we would urge you tonight, dear believer, to reconsider. Put the Lord first in your life, day by day. And God will bless you. And God will use you for his honor and glory. And God will meet your every need. We thank our brother for coming. We pray the Lord will richly bless him and continue to use him for his honor and for his glory. And we're going to close our meeting tonight by singing together the hymn number 261. 261. In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. The solid rock is Christ. And oh, be sure tonight that you're saved, that you're in Christ, resting upon Christ, not resting upon some notion of man or of self, but depending upon Christ alone for salvation. 261, we'll stand as we sing.
Thank you.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight for Thy presence with us here in this meeting. We thank Thee, Lord, for helping our brother Kyle in giving that word of testimony. We thank Thee for Thy saving grace in his life and Thy keeping grace and Thy guiding grace even to this very hour. We pray that Thou would bless the words of testimony tonight to saint and to sinner alike. Help each and every one of us who know Thee and trust Thee as Saviour to follow Thee, to obey Thee, to yield to Thee, to seek first the kingdom of God in all our ways. And Lord, for any tonight not saved, who have not that assurance, are still lost in their sin, no hope of heaven, Lord, speak to them. And Father, we pray that even tonight they might come in faith and in just simple childlike faith and repentance to the Lord, and trust the Lord Jesus Christ to be their own and personal Savior. Bless our brother, lead him on with yourself, meet his every need, encourage him and his wife and family in the Lord, and lead them and guide them in the paths of the Lord. And Lord, bless them and use them for the glory of Thy name. Answer prayer, take us to our homes and safety, journey with us. And while man's voice is silent, do speak on, we beseech of Thee this night, and save, we ask of Thee, in our Savior's name, amen and amen. If there's one here tonight and there's a concern in your heart through something you've heard tonight, do speak to our brother Kyle after the meeting. He'll be no hurry away. Be glad to open up the Word of God with you and point you, I know, to the Lord Jesus Christ alone, who is mighty to save.